That's going to be our Fluffy.
That's amazing.
That's Fluffy, isn't it?
Do I pet it while I talk?
You can pet it while you talk. It's going to make some noise into the podcast situation. Are we live?
We're live.
Live?
We are live, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Stephen White.
Hi.
The Albino West. You guys can give him a big round of applause that are in audience right now. And this is the interview, so we'll call this camera one, we'll call this camera two, and we'll call this backstage. Got it? So if we need to give you some direction.
Camera one, camera two, backstage.
That's fine, absolutely. So the purpose of this is to kind of get to know our pros a little bit better. And so I think that we're going to ask you more personal questions. Are you comfortable with that?
Mostly.
Mostly? Depends on how personal it gets.
Or how not personal.
Yeah, so according to the DJ from Loafers last night, your privates were for sale. Is that still true, or?
I hope there's not more than one.
Oh.
But I have a ton of lessons still available.
Okay, great. So I think that's what we meant. So if you guys are on Facebook Live and you're interested in getting some lessons from Steven, feel free to contact ML and she'll take care of that. You got that, Facebook? All right, cool. So, dance is a really, it's an emotional thing, and people get inspired by something. So what was your first inspiration to getting started in dancing?
The first inspiration I had, when I started dancing was in a teen club where I grew up in Palatka, Florida, and I was, well, I still am awkward, but I was also, an awkward kid too. And I knew this guy who he couldn't make friends. He didn't really get on well with a lot of people. And we were at this teen club, and I watched this guy walk out into the middle of the dance floor with these white gloves on, and he's just doing this stuff. And I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. And then afterwards, he was getting all this interaction with all these people, like talking with everyone, and he just made a bunch of friends just from that. So I'm like, oh, he's onto something here.
And so basically, you had no friends, and you wanted friends.
Hyperbole, but yes.
Cool, and how's that worked out for you?
Pretty well. I know people now.
You know people now. So would everybody in here consider him a friend at this point? If you, aww. So they like you. You've
You guys couldn't see this, but Victor Lavera is over in the back going.
Oh, man, truer statements, Victor. It's projecting is the problem with Victor. He doesn't have any friends, so he thinks you don't have any friends. So,
and now he's nodding.
Well, cool. And so that was your early inspiration, but obviously as you progress in dance, it's something that you need to get inspiration elsewhere. What inspires you in your transformation of your dance as it progresses?
I tend to take inspiration from odd sources. I like finding concepts or things that other artistic styles use and applying them into my dancing. So there was I actually shared it on Facebook, there was a little graphic that went around about how writers use sentence structure, and where they don't just use the idea of the basic five words per sentence, four sentences per paragraph, they actually vary how they do the sentence to pace the timing of the story and to create different effects in the story. And I started using that in my idea of dancing and how I pace my pattern structure and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So like I like taking abstract concepts and putting them into the realm of my dancing.
Wow, that's really cool. I mean, like, and does that help you be more creative? I mean, this is a creative art, right? Like, we are all...
I mean, I guess that really depends on which judge you ask. I would like to say yes.
So for those of you out there, Facebook Live, when you're dancing in competitions and Steven's a judge, the more creative you are, the more he likes it. Is that what you just said? Am I putting you?
If you do it well.
Okay. That's totally fair. So hobby-wise, like it's hard. Some people want to relax when they go home, and some people want to have something else that they're super passionate about. Is there anything that you're super passionate about, or are you more just like kind of a chill when you get home guy?
A little bit of both. I don't actually often get the time to chill when I get home.
Oh, okay.
I'm filling in the blanks on all the stuff that I can't do when I travel, but I do try and take time to myself to like read or play video games, just decompress.
So video games, that's interesting. What's your favorite video game?
Anything from the Final Fantasy series.
Anything?
Yeah, right.
Oh, we got some people in the crowd that are all about Final Fantasy. So, and that doesn't surprise, like, I feel like we're all eclectic in this in this. So you live in Florida. Did you grow up in Florida as well?
I did, yeah.
Okay, cool. And how was that?
Interesting. I grew up in a really small place called Palatka, Florida. Like, the biggest thing in town was a Walmart.
Awesome. So yeah. You had the local Walmart. That was a big deal.
That was the big deal.
How many traffic lights did you have?
I never counted.
You never counted, yeah. But it was one of those where I had maybe two or three. Is that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay,
pretty small
cool.
Place.
And what did that help you with your dance journey at all? Did it?
Oh God, no.
Okay, good. That's great.
No, like I didn't. I mean, like I started dancing there. I did like the pop and lock and the break dancing and all that. Nothing ever formal.
Do you want to show us any of that? Right
I
now?
I kind of did already.
Oh
did
yeah, okay.
I could do the
there we go. A little bit of isolations. Dope. Oh. Well, that's cool. And then the teaching scene in Florida. Florida's a bigger state than a lot of. So is your community, has it grown really well since you've kind of like engaged your local community there?
I actually haven't engaged local communities at all. Oh. By the time I really segued myself from ballroom into West Coast swing, I was mostly regional and then national and then international. So it's just constantly been travel teaching.
Cool. Well, that sounds like, is that fun for you to travel all?
It is. I like the ability to give people what they need at that moment and then be able to have them do the work and follow through on it. I was never quite as good at being patient enough to develop a scene and really stick through all the particulars, which, like, props where it's due. My friends Hugo and Stacy are doing that right now. They're killing it.
That's but, awesome.
Yeah, I ain't as good at it.
Good job, Hugo and Stacy. oh. Hugo, you know, it's okay. Stacy, don't get mad. Don't get jealous, okay, that he's kissing
it's
at Hugo.
It's funny that even he knew that was for Hugo.
Yeah. but in all these travels, you've got to have seen some great places. Like,
oh, yeah.
And so do you ever get a chance to get out, or is it pretty much a ballroom for an entire weekend and then you fly out?
Sometimes it's the latter. Sometimes,
okay.
But often I have had the chance to go out and do things in different places, especially when it's part of the event. Like, some events will have tours of the city as part of the experience that the event offers. So.
That's great.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite thing that you've gotten to experience because you were dancing and you've been traveling?
That actually happened recently. We were in New Zealand, and I got to go to the Hobbit set. Yeah.
Wow.
I got to actually go where they still have the full set of The Hobbit from The Lord of the Rings in New Zealand. We got to walk around it and everything.
Wow. And yeah. Is the set to life size, as it were, like for the...
Yeah. Yeah, it actually is. They had some of the Hobbit houses where it's full size, and they actually had smaller ones because a lot of the way they filmed was with... I can't remember the name of it, but it's the differing perspective. So, like, they made the Hobbits look Hobbit size by having, like, Ian McClellan farther off in the background or closer to the camera, so it had the differing perspective. Does anyone remember the name of that thing? No? At least it's not just
some
me.
Sort of parallax effect or something like
I
that?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure someone will
We're
say
geeking
Facebook.
Out. There's got to be somebody in here that's super sciencey that knows all that, but... we'll get that answer later, and we'll put it on the video after we're done. So are you a big Lord of the Rings fan? Is that like a big...
Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
so...
Yeah.
And in the scale of the three big fantasy, or the four big fantasy series, your Lord of the Rings, your Star Wars, your Star Trek, and your Harry Potter, where does that lie? Because that's an important question. These viewers are going to want to know where you really sit, okay?
Definitely more towards... Lord of the Rings, but it's like there's a big distinction there between that, because you put in some fantasy and then you put in some sci-fi, and then Harry Potter is kind of all on its own. So like,
yeah.
Of the Rings definitely is on the fantasy end. For sci-fi, I'm more towards like the Dune Frank Herbert end.
Oh, okay.
So, thank you. I like all of you.
So do you follow Harry Potter at all too? Is that another?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
so the question we all want to know. Seriously, Gryffindor, Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff, or Slytherin? What's?
I think I did the test and I ended up like being a Slytherclaw. Like, halfway.
Is that a dance move now, or what's?
It could be.
Okay.
I'm gonna name that after something. The slither claw.
Is that what you were doing in there just now?
Maybe. It could be that. Sure.
Let's just learn the slither claw. Congratulations.
It sounds so much worse when I hear it versus when I thought I was saying it.
So you say you read a lot of books.
Yeah.
What is your favorite book?
My favorite, probably the Wheel of Time series by Robert Jordan at this point.
We got an amen over here. The Wheel of Time series, okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, ML, do we have any questions from our viewers on Facebook Live at all?
Ah.
Have friends who should see this video. No, we don't.
Okay, no questions.
Ask questions, people. Kristen, I know you're watching.
If you want to ask any questions, just and then we'll transfer them over here. Is there anybody in the audience that has a burning question? I know I saw Victor's list, so we're going to omit from those.
Question from Kristen Shaw.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it.
She wants to know what is swing content.
She took mine.
So what? Yes, what is swing content?
I'm not, well, okay, so.
Zooming in here. Hold on, a little zoomage.
Hi. Last night, Kristen Shaw was actually on Facebook Live doing an AMA.
She was doing the Wine About It Westie edition.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What we're calling it, the Wine About It Westie edition. Good job,
so,
Kristen.
I was being not nice, and I was just throwing out a bunch of questions to her like that. So now I'm getting the favor returned. So what is swing content? Am I really supposed to answer that seriously, or should I like actually give the answer I gave last night?
Both, actually. I want to hear both answers. I want to hear the funny answer first.
No, there's kids in here.
Oh, okay. Well,
he's
then let's.
My kid. Don't worry.
So the answer I gave last night was. Swing content is what happens when you don't wear underwear during your competition. Yeah, right? It happens. Serious answer is, I'm not even sure if I should even try to tackle this one because it's one of those things that can potentially get you in trouble.
Is it WSDC watching? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe. But I was going to follow that up with, it's not like I've ever cared that much about getting in trouble. So for me, swing content is the physical characteristics that are commonly shared among swing dances. That would be the idea of swing content. The problem we get with this is that not everyone agrees on what all of those physical characteristics are or should be. So what ends up happening is people associate the era of the dance that they came into with what their belief of swing content is. So if I ask somebody that just came in right now and just learned West Coast swing a certain way, they would say, oh, this is my West Coast swing content. Or if I ask somebody that started in Lindy Hop and then came into West Coast swing in the 90s and then learned shag, their idea of what swing content is going to be very different. And the big issue with this and the reason that we have even the debates about it is because we're putting a quantifiable number, you must have 70%, you must have 80%, on something that we currently do not possess a consistent ability to quantify. So the short answer for all of that is swing content is something that we are supposed to count but can't.
That's not going to upset anybody, that one. That answer is going to be...
Probably not. I'm sure, by all means, I'm always open to more education, so if there is somebody that disagrees with me on that, and I'm sure there will be, put it out there, I will happily read it and expand my mind on that one.
Expand your mind. Any specific help you're going to use to expand your mind on that, or is that just...
I have no clue what you're talking
about.
That's
a Guinness reference, yeah. So, some people refer to you as the albino Westie. I know that. So give us some knowledge on this. This is about who you are, I guess. And you were telling me some stuff earlier about it. It was really interesting, actually, to me. What? Tell us what you're...
So, I am actually an albino. I have type 2. Is that surprising for someone? I have a...
It's the lighting that makes him look a little less
pink.
Yeah.
No, that happens. When people normally think of albinism, they think of type 1, where you have a complete lack of melanin in the body. Your body does not produce melanin pigment. So that's when like the skin would be a little bit paler. You'd have the pink or red eyes. I have type 2 albinism, oculotaneous, whatever. I can't remember the full name.
He knows the Latin, y'all. Let's get real.
But the way that works is like type 2 diabetes, where you have everything in your body, but I lack the gene marker that gets it from point A to point B. So my body produces melanin and pigment, but I can't use it. So I do have some pigments in like my eyes, and I do like every now and then I'll get weird red or black hairs. But overall, I can't tan. It is still a genetic defect, so I have diminished senses. Like my sight is horrific. I'm legally blind without my contacts or my glasses. Hearing, taste, all of it's just a little bit less than normal.
So you can't taste things as well? That's why you're drinking Guinness. It makes a lot of sense to me.
You can't hate on the Irish stuff today.
Okay, fair. That's totally fair.
Save it for midnight.
So do you want to tell the audience about the idea you gave Jason for competition today?
I was totally kidding about that, but sure.
This is the best thing. Wait, Facebook Live needs to hear about this, yeah.
I was just joking. And I'm like, Jason, we should do an Irish car bomb Jack and Jill. It's where you get Jameson and Guinness, and you drop the Jameson into Guinness, and you have to drink it, and then you go dance. And then when you're done with that dance, you go back and you drink two. And then you dance again. And it's pretty much last person standing wins. And he's
we won't go that far.
Yeah. He said, what about the people that don't drink or like the people that are underage? And I said, they don't make finals.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
So then how do you define swing content inside of that parameter?
Oh, actually, that's really funny, because I had this thing I always wanted to do before I learned more.
He learned more.
Yeah. I wanted to learn Lindy Hop, and I wanted to go to a blues bar in Chicago where it gets really, really cramped, and I wanted to try and dance Lindy Hop really drunk in the cramped blues bar and see if West Coast Swing happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I thought it might work.
And so you decided not to be a wrecking ball. Okay, good. Do we have an online question? What do you guys... No? Okay, cool. I just see the powers that be are doing things over there. So do we have...
Did it work? Did it work?
Did what work?
Did you create...
I never got to try it. Yeah.
The blues dancer in the crowd is asking this question because she's intrigued.
Ah, fair. Well, I got to the blues bar, and I definitely had the drinking, and I did dance West Coast, but I still haven't learned Lindy, so I'm missing that part.
So the Lindy is just so you can have some more circular momentum to run into people?
Well, I mean, that was the precursor for West Coast, so I figured I kind of followed the history a little bit. It's like supposedly that's one of the stories with like how West Coast happened is when the music started changing, the people went into the different clubs, and they were dancing Lindy Hop, but it morphed itself into a different dance from that. Yeah.
So one question we did get asked earlier as a segue, if you didn't have dance, some of this is circling around dance, even though it's personal. If you didn't have dance as a profession, if that couldn't be a possibility for you, what would you do? What would you be doing right now?
So before I started dance, I actually played Navy for a little while.
Played Navy.
That's a much longer story than we can probably do here, but I spent a year in the Navy in a reserve unit doing training, and I was going in for the GI Bill so that I could do mental health. I was interested in psychology at the time.
Cool, and to what end did you want to kind of like engage that? Like, is it something that the GI Bill would help you become...
College. I just needed something to be able to afford college. Yeah.
Oh, so you were just essentially stumping to be able to get paid to do what you wanted to do, and they didn't cover that at
much. Pretty much. And like I came from a very military family. Like my dad was in the Navy 24 years.
I can totally tell based on this interview already.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah, well, my dad was in the Navy 24 years. My granddad was in as a lifer. My granddad on the other side was in the Army Rangers. Like, yeah, I had a ton of military family. My little brother's actually in the military in Charlotte, for whoever is from Charlotte here.
Cool. Yeah.
You too. Yeah, duh.
There was a story that Jason was kind of saying that you or somebody was trying to say that last night that, that we needed to tell?
Oh, yeah, the ACC story. Okay, so not that story, Victor.
Okay, no stories that incriminate Victor.
No, we're not telling that one. So this story that Jason was referring to, this was with, so I can't remember everyone that was involved because this was 2010 or 11, I think.
That was a lot of beers ago, a lot of Guinnesses.
Yes, absolutely, and Crown at that time, too, because it was ACC, America's Classic Championships. So I flew into...
Oh, that's good clarification, because to us, ACC is Atlantic Coast Conference in this area, just saying. Go State.
I flew into Houston early for the event, and I was staying with J.B. Brody and his family, and Eddie Valdez was there with us, and a friend of Eddie's who I cannot for the life of me remember the name of. So I get to the airport, and I'm walking out to where they're going to pick me up, and they call me on the phone, and they're like, hey, we couldn't make it, but JB's dad is going to pick you up. He's in this car. It's pulling up right now. I'm like, okay, weird, because I've never met his dad, but whatever. And they're like, okay, yeah, he's pulling up. Just, you know, nod at him, go ahead and hop in. And already I'm thinking that's a little odd, but whatever. I believe him. So I, like, look in the car. I wave at the guy, and I start to get in, and the guy's already getting out of the car, and he's looking at me very, very curiously. And they start cracking up over the phone. That was not JB's dad. They were actually sitting like a few hundred feet ahead of me in their own car because they had already gotten there to pick me up, and they just decided to mess with me. So I almost got into a stranger's car. But I did get my revenge because I got one of their room keys for the event, and I snuck into their room, and during the event, I taped all of their clothes to the inside of their room, all up on the walls and everywhere, and then I took their underwear, and I taped it on the outside of the door in a big smiley face. Both of those things, I think, are still on Facebook somewhere.
First of all, at a dance event, where did you just run and rent? Do you carry tape on you?
That's a good question. Where did I find the tape? Probably the front desk. I don't know.
They didn't ask questions. Hey, I need some duct tape, and I don't need you to ask any questions. That sounds like something Victor would say, you know?
That's possible. Maybe I got it from Victor.
We won't talk about that, or else we'll end up in a river somewhere soon. And then, how long did that take you?
Not that long, like 15 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
So albinos are super fast. Got it. All right.
Especially when given proper motivation.
So is that the only prank story in all the years you've been dancing that you have a prank story?
No.
only one that we can talk about on Facebook Live. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Just making sure. Well, does anybody else in the audience have any questions? Okay.
So what's the deal with, like, you got the t-shirts and you got some new site coming up?
Oh, yeah.
Shameless plug. Thank you, Claire.
Yeah. That's great.
Ding. Plug time.
Yeah, I'm going to be, hopefully, within, like, the next week or so, I'm going to be launching a site where, I'll tell a little bit more of the story just so there's context here, but two friends of mine, two people I know fairly well, made a joke with Dan Yamamoto, who does Wandering Westie, about Stephen White fan club shirts. Dan was like, I think I can do this, and he actually made Stephen White fan club shirts. So there's a shirt with, like, my face on it, says Stephen White fan club. So I'm like, okay, well, if people are actually gonna wear those, cool, I'll give 20% discount to anyone that wears them for a lesson. And I started, like, actually seeing these things pop up with people I didn't even know. So I'm like, okay, well, if people like it, I'll go with it. So I actually bought the design from Dan, and I'm going to have a shop, an online shop, e-commerce store coming out soon where you can buy that shirt and some other things that I'll have coming out. Like, the West Coast Swing Retreat is coming up. My event that I'm doing end of April, there will be gear for that on there too. So you can just find all kind of albino-related products.
And for those of us that want to buy the shirt, what's the cost on the shirt?
You can find out on the website.
Okay. You don't even know. That's good.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Any other albinos in the
family? There had to have been somewhere back there, but none in the immediate family, no. Yeah, genetic recessive. No. Pretty far back.
Well, that's cool. Any other questions from the audience?
Yes, it's natural.
Oh, Victor.
What is the swing retreat?
What is the swing retreat? Thank you for asking. The West Coast Swing Retreat is an event that Sonia and I started in St. Augustine, Florida, that's gender irrelevant. So the idea is work hard, play hard. It's 12 hours with me and Sonia, and now Hugo and Stacy, we added them, to where when you show up for the retreat, you do both roles. You only need to be proficient in your primary role, so like if you only know lead, that's fine. When you show up, we're gonna fill in the blanks on what you're supposed to do as a follow, but the idea is you're much more proficient in understanding and knowing the application of one role if you also understand the needs of the other role. So if you can even do part of a follow at a minimum, it makes you that much better of a leader. So we do a tour of St. Augustine. St. Augustine's the oldest city in the nation. Big touristy spot. We go out for tacos and everything. You get to see some of the city. The entire thing's run at a yoga center. I can't remember the name of it now. Discovery Yoga Center. That has a hostel in the actual dance center, so a good portion of the people can actually stay at the place where we do the venue, and then there's hotels around. And yeah, that's the whole premise. You go there, it's a big intensive setting, everyone's working and learning together. It's a pretty relaxed environment. It's unfortunately sold out for this year, but we're gonna try and hopefully expand some in 2019, but still keep a small group environment as well. Currently we only allow 30 people at the event.
And that's to keep it intimate and easier to teach.
Exactly, and so that we can make sure that everyone's getting one-on-one feedback and has enough time to process the information that we are giving.
That's really awesome. And like, is there an extension time or like a time that tickets go on sale so people can know when? So if they want to rush and get something, like, because if it's only 30 tickets,
yeah,
and you're selling out very quickly,
yeah, it's probably going to sell it even faster next year now. I will probably have, hopefully, my goal is to have everything up and running by May, but I'm also going to be improving the registration system.
Okay.
So, yeah, May would be what I'm shooting for.
May is what you're shooting for. All right. Any other Facebook Live questions?
No Facebook Live questions, but I have a question. So since we're in the Triangle and we're in North Carolina, even if you don't really like sports, if you have a team between the Wolfpack and the Tar Heels,
did you even know what she's talking about?
They're hockey teams.
I was just about to say it. I don't watch hockey. If I had to pick one of those teams, I would probably pick the one with the name I just like the most because it literally means nothing else to me.
There you go. So essentially, or you could pick colors. It's red, light blue, or dark blue.
Which one's the light blue? I'm actually having trouble processing all of that noise.
Well, there's some yays in there, and there's a lot of boos.
Yeah.
So we are in Durham, so all the Duke fans, raise your hand.
Go to North Carolina.
All the state fans, raise your hand.
Yay!
There's like two of us. All the Carolina fans.
Okay, so I will say, the last time I did this whole sports thing, there's an event.
It's a sports thing, just so you know. Sports thing.
There's an event called, there's an event at the Jacksonville Landing. It's a huge amphitheater where they hold a huge party for the Georgia-Florida game. I guess Gators and Bulldogs.
I have a friend that will be very happy that you called it the Georgia-Florida game and not the Florida-Georgia game, just so you're aware.
I didn't even realize.
There's a difference, trust me.
But I'm at this thing with a bunch of my friends who are thankfully large people, and I'm not wearing anything. I'm wearing normal clothes.
He's wearing clothes, people. Clothes. He is
clothes.
Wearing clothes, yes.
I'm wearing clothes. I'm not wearing colors of a team. they're wearing the colors of their
team.
Well,
you don't wear colors in your melanin either, so it's, the, you know, it's
it
just...
It all works out, correct. So, like, all these people are heckling. They're asking, where's your colors, man? Which team are you for? Where's your colors? And, like, being the person that I am, I start saying, I don't know. I don't watch hockey. And these people are getting so mad. Like, they are very, very angry that I've said this. So that's why I'm thankful that my friends were large.
Well, I think that's awesome. One more question from the audience, and then I think we'll wrap up here.
When do you think you'll be coming back to
the Good one.
I like that question. Hopefully soon.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Westy Party, and this is Stephen White. Let's give him a big round of applause. Thank you, Facebook Live. We love you all. Good night.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We didn't even have the ferns.
We did not.